Good. Missed you last week. Cindy did a wonderful job. And I hope everybody had an opportunity to share the Lord. Or at least you are more open to that. It was very, very encouraging. A couple of announcements before we get into the lesson for tonight. And that is this coming Monday evening, a little workshop on hiding God's word in your child's heart. So if you are a mom or even a grandma, you can attend that and pick up a flyer out there so you know what time and all of that. And then just be encouraged and instructed on how to do that. You know, children's minds are little sponges, and it's much easier for them to memorize scripture than it is for us. So I got to get it in there while they're young. And then the other thing is, it's actually in 4 weeks, but we have a little break. We have Thanksgiving week off, so I want to let you know now on that first Wednesday in December, I think it's the 4th, we're going to have a Christmas dessert fellowship evening for us ladies. We will be meeting in the children's auditorium because Kids Club has their awards night in here. And so if you would like to bring something to share that evening, some kind of a dessert, if you're like me, you like to bake and do those things around this time, but if you do and they're at your house, you're going to eat them all up, and you don't want to do that. So it's a good time just to make something and bring and share it. So if you would like to do that, could you just let Kristen know, and just so we can kind of know how much we have. And then also we need some women to help come early to help set up and do the coffee and things like that, and then a few to stay a little later to help clean up. So if you would like to do that, would you also let Kristen know at the table so we can plan for that? One other thing is that evening we will not have child care. So if you're bringing babies and toddlers, we won't have the care, but you can bring them into the fellowship area with us. The older they are, maybe a little harder for you, but we're open for that. So be aware of that, and I'll let you all know again next week. So tonight's lesson, busyness and priorities. And boy, do we hear that word busy a lot, don't we? Way more than we used to, because things are very busy. We always hear, oh, I'm so busy. Or how are you doing? Oh, busy. Well, what are you busy doing? I don't know. I am just busy. I mean, does that sound familiar? Maybe out of your own mouth or people that you've talked to. And sometimes you just wonder, what in the world is everyone doing? And what in the world am I doing? What have I done? Well, that word busy, we know what it means, but I'm going to tell you anyway. It means occupied, it means unavailable, it means active, and it means full of bustle. Now, sometimes we feel like that, don't we? Where we're just full of bustle. There are so many choices in life, way more than there used to be. And we can be, that choices can make us busy. Just going to the grocery store, the choices that there are nowadays than before. Now, I'm not that old, but if you're as old as me or older than me, you remember when you would go to the store with your mom and you would get a can of soup, you'd buy a can of soup. Now there's choices on, do you want it with salt or without salt? Do you want it light? Do you want it non-fat? Do you want it organic? Do you want it sugar-free? Salt? You know, all of those choices that we have just in buying a can of soup or going to a restaurant, even the fast food places. It used to be, they all used to be like In-N-Out, where they had a hamburger and a cheeseburger and fries. And now it's, you know, the triple and the quadruple and the with and the without and the super and the non-super and the super, super, super. And, you know, all of those things, the choices, choices, choices. Even with appliances. I mean, it used to be you would go buy a refrigerator. Maybe you had a choice between an ice maker and not. But that was it. And now you know the choices there are with just those kind of things. And those choices can keep us busy because you have to make decisions and you have to kind of investigate and you have to figure it out, and it can keep us busy. And then just managing your life, it can keep you very busy, much busier, again, than when we were young or when our moms were young. It used to be where, I mean, again, there weren't very many choices. And so managing your household was fairly simple. Just think about managing your insurance, your health insurance. It used to be if you had health insurance and you went to the doctor, they would bill and take care of it, and that would be it. Now it doesn't seem like anybody's doing their job, or somebody messed something up. So you have to, is it my earring? Okay, that's okay. So now you have to make the phone calls. You have to do the whole thing. It's very active. It's full of bustle, our lives. Technology, which is wonderful, but does that keep you busy? How many have been on the phone with their internet provider for a half hour or more? Or their cell phone provider for, you know, it is just full. Life is full. Appointments, school, work, activities, everything is full, and it keeps us busy. And all of these things and more, they not only just gobble up our time and cause us to run hither and yon all over the place or on the phone all the time, but it can also make our minds very busy. Have you found that to be true? We have very busy minds. I don't think my mother had a very busy mind. I mean, she probably thought she did, but there wasn't as much to do, or my grandmother, or my great-grandmother. There wasn't all this stuff that made life so busy. Now our minds are, you know, they're just going constantly. And we can get overwhelmed by that, or we can just sigh and say, oh, there's so much to do and so little time to do it. Twice specifically in Scripture, we are told to redeem the time and to redeem the time wisely. In Ephesians 4, it says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And then in Colossians 4, we're to walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Now, this whole thing of time, we all know that each one of us has been given the same amount of time every day. We all have 24 hours in a day. So nobody has extra time. We wish for extra time, but we all have that same amount of time. And we need to use wisdom in how we use that time, or how we redeem that time that we are given. And as we talked about, there's so many different things that we can spend our time on, and we can use our time wisely and productively on those things, or we can mismanage our time and waste a lot of our time. So what did Jesus say about being busy? And he gives us a very good example, and that is in Luke chapter 10, our wonderful friends Martha and Mary. So if you turn to Luke 10, beginning in verse 38. I love this passage because it has so many good lessons in it that we can't get into all of them tonight. We just have one point from it. In Luke 10:38, now it happened as they went that he entered, Jesus entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." So Martha and Mary, sisters, they both loved Jesus. They both sat at Jesus' feet. They both served Jesus. But Martha was distracted by her service. Mary was not. Martha was. And that word distracted means over-occupied, to draw away the mind, or the attention goes in another direction. So Jesus said to Martha, "Martha, you're over-occupied with your serving. Martha, your attention is being drawn away from me because of your busyness, because of what you are doing." Martha's mind was busy on her preparations and her tasks that she thought was the most important thing at the time. Her priorities at that time were out of whack. Mary had the right priority. It said that Mary left her sister, which means Mary had been serving. Mary had been doing the preparations too. But Mary knew when enough is enough and when it's time to put her attention on the Lord and to listen to him. But Martha was distracted by all of those things, and she gave them precedence over spending time with Jesus. Now, there are a lot of reasons for busyness and a lot of things that distract us, and we need to be aware of them and watch out for them. And I'm going to cover a few, but there are hundreds. But one, and these aren't in any particular order, but this one, I thought, maybe this is Martha, and this is being a perfectionist. Because for Martha, it could be that maybe everything was done in the kitchen. Mary saw that, and it was, I don't think Mary would have just left and left everything undone. They had a meal to serve to Jesus and his disciples. But in Mary's mind, it was done. It was sufficient. It was good for the master. And so she left. But in Martha, the perfectionist, possibly, she could think, "No, this is not good enough. This has to be done, and that has to be done." And that's where the distractions can start. Now, for a perfectionist, whether Martha was one or not, maybe you are in certain areas. Maybe we all are in certain areas. But for a perfectionist, things will never be good enough. They never will. Whatever it is that we're doing, and we'll just take cooking here because that's what Martha was doing, preparing, you know, or frosting a cake or whatever, it's never going to be good enough. And so we're distracted. We're putting all of our time in to make this perfect thing. And things, they will never be perfect. They will never be right, no matter how much time you put into them if you're a perfectionist. You're never going to say, perfect. That's not going to happen. And then perfectionists also would rather do things themselves than delegate. And that keeps them busier. And they can really add a lot to their own plate because of their perfectionism. And they also keep themselves overly busy, because even when their task is done, because nothing is ever good enough, they got to watch over it to make sure nobody touches it or nobody messes it up or that kind of a thing. You know, so that can keep a person very busy, just having that type of a temperament of being a perfectionist. So if we're aware of that in our lives, we can watch out for that and learn how to draw the line and say, that is good enough. Because if I cross this line, I'm moving places that I'm not supposed to move. And the Lord wants me to do my best. But there is this line that He has put in my own individual life. And He will show us where that is and what that is. Another thing that keeps us very busy and can distract us is the type of person that really mismanages their time. They don't quite know how to put things in order or do things efficiently, so a lot of time is wasted. And then there, in that, there are people who they just don't get what's important and what's not important. They'll go for the fun-looking thing or the this thing, where this is the important thing, but because it doesn't look as good as that, maybe they're a little undisciplined. They have an undisciplined life, maybe an undisciplined mind, so it's easily distracted by things because it doesn't want, it's not a perfectionist, it doesn't want to do this thing, so, oh good, distract me because I want to be busy doing something else. Or another reason is a person that is extremely busy and keeps themselves busy all the time. Sometimes they feel like if they keep themselves busy and they're doing, they feel like they're accomplishing something. And they feel maybe, maybe like they have more importance or they self-worth or whatever because they're doing. They're doing, and if they're not doing, they feel useless. They feel like, okay, nobody's gonna like me or whatever, and I've got to do, you know. And they don't want to take time out to relax because then they feel guilty when they relax. Okay, I'm not doing anything. I'm not being productive here. I'm not doing anything. I remember when I was a brand new Christian, there was a book that was called "Why Do I Feel Guilty When I Relax?" Which, and I think I probably have gone through all of these, and maybe we all have at some time or another. Another reason for busyness is what I would call busyness addiction. And it can be addicting. There is an adrenaline that is released when we get going. And, you know, people can get addicted to adrenaline and they want to live on that adrenaline because it's a boost of your energy and everything. It's dangerous if you do that all the time. But there are people that they always, always have to be doing something. In fact, they don't have to be doing something. They have to be doing five somethings. They've got their hand in this and this and this, and they've got a project here, and they've got a job here and another job here, and then this over here, and they're president of that club and this and that, and they're serving here and they're serving there and they're serving there. Everywhere. They can't take 5 minutes because it's they don't know what to do. You know, when we probably have all been busy like that at some time, and then when you stop, you know, you don't know. I don't know. Has anybody else had that happen to them? I'm not alone here. Raise your hand. Okay. Thank you. Like, you know, sometimes you're going, and then you have to wait in line. How does that go for you? It doesn't go really well for me. I don't like waiting in lines. Another reason for busyness, and this might sound strange, but is fear. Because busyness can be an escape. If I keep myself busy, if I keep myself occupied, then I don't have to face this situation or this person. I don't have to deal with this or that because I'm afraid of what might happen if I do deal with it. So I'm going to keep myself busy, 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 so I don't have to face what's going on. And you know, a lot of people out in that world who don't have the Lord, this is what they do all the time, because they don't want to face their emptiness. But for us as Christians, we can be fearful of a circumstance or a relationship or something like that. So we're just busy ourselves or busy our minds so we don't have to deal with it. Sometimes we can be fearful because we are uncomfortable around certain people or in certain settings, and we don't really know how to handle ourselves or don't know what to say. So if we're busy, then we'll have to deal with that. You know, sometimes maybe you want to get to know somebody, you invite maybe some new people over to your house for dinner, but you're not really comfortable with that. So you are going to be so busy, you're going to plan your menu, so whatever you're making, you have to be in the kitchen for a really long time. So you don't have to really, you let your husband talk to the people, and then, you know, you can be back and forth checking to make sure everything is fine. Oh, yes, thank you for coming. And, you know, you can be busy that way. We do it. At church, we can do that too, where we think, okay, somebody give me a broom. Somebody give me something to do, because I'm just standing here all alone and I'm uncomfortable. So I want to get busy, busy, busy. And then we can even carry that over to a fear in our relationship with the Lord, an unhealthy fear of, I keep myself busy and my mind busy because I'm afraid if I slow down and I listen to his still small voice, he might tell me something I don't want to know or I don't want to hear. Or he may reveal something to me that I don't want to deal with, or that kind of a thing. And so I'm a little afraid. And so if I keep myself busy, then I don't have to really face what it might be that he wants to do in my life. So fear can keep a person very busy. And then this, which happens quite often, is we have an enemy who wants to keep us so busy, too busy, that we don't have time for our relationship with the Lord. I had a friend years ago who had a bumper sticker that said, if you're too busy for Jesus, you're too busy. But the enemy, he keeps Christians busy. Now, I want to read a little something. It was a little something that about Satan, who called a convention of his demons, and he's giving them his pep talk so they can go out and seek to destroy. And in Satan's opening address, he said to his demons, we can't keep Christians from going to church. We can't keep them from reading their Bibles and knowing the truth. And we can't even keep them from forming an intimate relationship with their Savior. Once they gain that connection with Jesus, our power over them is broken. So let them go to their churches, but steal their time so they don't have time to develop a relationship with Jesus Christ. This is what I want you to do, he told the demons. Distract them from gaining hold of their Savior and maintaining that vital connection throughout their day. How shall we do this? The demons asked. Keep them busy in the non-essentials of life and invent innumerable schemes to occupy their minds. Persuade the wives to go to work for long hours and husbands to work 6 to 7 days each week, 10 to 12 hours a day, so they can afford their empty lifestyles. Keep them from spending time with their children. Overstimulate their minds so they cannot hear that still small voice. Have them return from their vacation or their recreation exhausted. Keep them too busy to go out in nature and reflect on God's creation. Keep them busy, busy, busy. Crowd their lives with so many good causes, they have no time to seek power from Jesus. Soon they will be working in their own strength, sacrificing their health and their family for the good of the cause, it will work, and it was quite a plan. And have you ever found that to be true? We do have an enemy who wants to busy our minds and our lives, even on those good things. So we are like Martha, and we're distracted. We're occupied with something else. Our mind is pulled away from the Lord and the things of the Lord. Whatever our reason for our busyness, and each one of us, I think each one of us fall into this at some point in time. And we probably go in and out, in and out. Some people just, that's where they live all the time. But we all have to deal with that. So no matter what the reason is, we do need to sit before the Lord. And hopefully you did that this week as you went through your homework and the Lord's speaking to your heart on your life. And maybe you did keep track of the events of one day and got to see where your time went and that kind of thing. To see that if our priorities are out of whack, if they're not what the Lord would have us to do. And we know that this world's priorities, boy, that what is important to this world is so contrary to what is important to the Lord. And the world is not the standard. And we can get caught up in what the world thinks is important and the priorities of the world. But we need to sit before the Lord and find out, what do you have for me, for my life, for my family? What should the priority be? So if you haven't, you would need to ask yourself, where does your time go? Where does our time go? Does it go to where the world's time goes, and that is to the big me, myself, and I? The world is constantly telling us that we need to take care of ourselves. We need to be happy. You're the most important person. And the focus is on self. Where the Bible tells us that the focus is not, it should not be on self at all. It needs to be on the Lord, on other people, and then on ourselves. But where's my time go? Is it just spent on me? Or maybe it's spent on my recreation or the recreation of my family, where we're just going hither and yon and doing all of these kind of things, and that gobbles up a lot of my time. Or what about the internet? What about Facebook? You can be on there for 5 minutes or so. You can be on there for hours and not even realize how much time, or sitting in front of the TV, or, you know, whatever it might be, or hobbies, or my career, or my relationships that aren't kingdom oriented. They're just surface relationships. Where is my time going? You know, there is nothing wrong with being busy. The Bible doesn't say you're not supposed to be busy. There's nothing wrong with being busy. We need to be busy about the right things. We need to be busy about the kingdom, about the Lord. We need to redeem the time for eternity. That's redeeming the time wisely. It's redeeming it. In laying my treasures up in heaven and seeking first the kingdom of God, that is redeeming my time wisely. Remember when Jesus was 12 years old and Mary and Joseph took him to Jerusalem, and they were in the, giving the sacrifice in the temple and the whole thing. And then they left, and they were a couple of days journey and realized that Jesus wasn't with them. They went back to find him. And when they found him, Jesus was in the temple teaching. And he said to his mother, who was worried about him, he said, "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Busy about my Father's business. Jesus was always busy. I liked that question in the homework. I don't know if we've ever thought about that, but he was very busy, very busy. But it was about his father's business. It was about doing his father's will. He said in John 6, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." That's how we're to live, is to not do our will, but to do God's will. And Jesus was busy about God's will, and we need to be busy about his will for our lives, his kingdom, eternal things, because that is what is going to last. Nothing else is going to last. What is eternal? His word is eternal. These spiritual things are eternal. Our relationship with the Lord is eternal. People are eternal. Depends on where they're going to spend eternity. But that's what we need to be busy about. The other things are going to burn. They're going to burn. There is busy people in the Bible. Epaphroditus, I love him. He was a servant of the Lord. Paul referred to him in Philippians chapter 2. And he said, "Because for the work of Christ, he came close to death, not regarding his life." That would be a busy servant. You are so busy and you are pushing yourself physically so hard in serving the Lord that you come close to death. Not because he hadn't given himself any thought. He hadn't preserved his life. He was giving it away. It didn't matter. He's serving the Lord. That's what's going to count. Jesus' disciples were very busy. They followed him everywhere as he was busy, but then he sent them out. He sent them out in twos to go preach the gospel. And when they came back, he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat." That's busy. There's no rebuke there. There's no rebuke there from the Lord at all, because they were busy about his business. And if you don't have time to eat, you don't have time to eat, guys. Well, let's go to this deserted place. And if you know what happened after that, they got there and everybody showed up. It wasn't deserted anymore. And they continued to serve. They continued to minister. They were busy about the Lord's work. And do you know the Lord, he can keep us very busy serving him. And so much so that we don't have time to think about ourselves. And I like that, because I think about myself way too much, way too much. And if I have too much time on my hands, my thoughts are going to go to me. But if I'm busy about my Father's will, serving him, living for him, walking with him, how can I serve you today, Lord? What can I do for your kingdom today, Lord? I'm not going to think about me. And I need that, and I like that. Now, our friend, the Proverbs 31 woman, busy, busy woman, wasn't she? I mean, you read that. She had no time, but she was busy about her family. She was busy about her home. She was busy with a few side businesses that she had going on. She did not eat the bread of idleness at all. She was a busy woman, and she was commended. She was a commended woman, but she was busy about what God had called her to. He had called her to be busy in her home, to take care of her family and her husband and her children. He called her to do these side businesses. So we can be called in our homes, we can be called outside of our homes, as long as we're busy about what he's called us to do. So it's not those things that are bad, but did he call us to those things? We have a choice to be busy about our own business or to be busy about the Lord's business. Where does He want my time to go? Lord, where do You want my time to go today? I have a list. I have a list every day. I have a list. These are the things that I think I am supposed to do today. These are the things I think I need to do today. Lord, where do You want my time to go? And it's been a long learning experience, and I'm still learning. I'm still growing in this. Before I came to know the Lord, I was a very bored person. I'm fairly organized and fairly efficient, so everything was done. Even when I had two small children, everything, I had time to thoroughly clean my house three times a week. Everything was done, and I was bored, which is one of the things that drove me to the Lord, because I said, okay, is this it? Is this it? No, this isn't it. And then I became very busy, because I was busy in this, and I'll volunteer for that, and I'll serve here, and I'll do that, and I served in millions of places. I'll be in charge, and I'll do this, and yep. And then you have to learn how to balance all of that, because He doesn't want me to be a crazy woman. How do you balance that? It's been a long process. But it's nice to get to the place where you truly in the morning is like, what do You want me to do? And if I don't get whatever these things done that I thought I needed to do, then I didn't get them done. I did what was important to the Lord. So we have a choice. And what has He called you to do? And where has He called you to serve Him? In your home, outside of your home, in your church? Where has He called you to serve? Let's give our lives away to Him and to His service. Again, everything else, it's not going to make it into heaven. It doesn't matter. I was talking with Damien about this just because it was, you know, it's on my heart. And we're talking about the world and how the world is and how I'm just, it was one of those conversations where you're just, it's a heavy one. We tend to have a lot of those. And I said, you know, I just want to serve. That's all I want to do. I just want to do what He wants me to do. That's how I want to spend my life, whatever that may mean. And He said, you know, anything else is like straightening pictures in a burning building. And that's so true. These other things that we think are so important in this life, they're going to burn. They're going to burn. What does He want us to do? And then let's do it and let's finish well. Time is so short. It's so short. Let's finish well. Finish doing God's will, what He has us to do. Jesus, right before He went to the cross, He prayed to the Father and He said, I have glorified You on the earth. I have finished the work which You have given me to do. I have finished the work. And we do know, and it's been said a million times, that Jesus didn't heal everybody. He didn't meet every single need that He saw, but He finished the work that His Father wanted Him to do. The Apostle Paul said to young Timothy, he told him, fulfill your ministry, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. He was getting close to going home to be with the Lord. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all those who loved His appearing. Let's pray. Father, I just pray for my life and all of my sisters who sit here tonight. Lord, that we would finish well, that we would be able to, at the end of our time, be able to say, I have finished the work that You've given me to do. I've run my race. Lord, help us to be busy about Your business. And Lord, will You show us what that is for each individual person here? Show us. Do you want us serving more in our homes, in our family, in our neighborhood, in our jobs, in our church? Where do you want us to serve you? What do you want us to do with our time, Lord? Give us ears to hear, and then that heart that will be able to say no to those other things and yes to what you have for us, Lord. And we trust you to show us your will. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you that we can spend our lives for you and we can live our lives out for you. Thank you that there is a crown of righteousness waiting for us. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to speak to our hearts, Lord, as we go into our groups, and that you would bless each group in the conversation there, Lord, and continue to do that work. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.